I'm Tom Nelson, and I believe the work you do really, really matters. You know, my heart's deepest desire is to encourage you with weekly wisdom for your workplace. And this wisdom is actually embedded in God's four-chapter work story, and it's found in the Bible. And it's a story that helps you reimagine your Monday workplace with renewed purpose, meaning, and hopefulness. Spencer is a longtime friend of mine whose workplace calling is a pathologist. He trained in one of the finest institutions in the States and has a 30-year distinguished career. I have to tell you, over the years, I have admired Spencer, his sincere faith, his virtuous life, the excellence of his work, his remarkable resiliency as demonstrated in his profession, imagine for more than 3 decades. So I was a bit surprised when recently he texted me with these words. He says, "Tom, I'm on the edge of burnout. Can we meet?" So we agreed to meet at a local coffee shop. We sipped our favorite lattes. He shared with me some of the challenges in his workplace. In the Monday world of work, there are chronic staffing shortages. He has personnel issues, longer hours, work overload, and a host of technological changes, along with increased growing macroeconomic pressure. I noticed his usual buoyancy of spirit was absent. Instead, I could see a quiet desperation on his face. Then he said to me words that I remember. He said, "Tom, I don't think I can do this anymore." Spencer was finding himself, as so many, on the precarious precipice of burnout. Of course, it's not just the medical profession. Burnout is occurring in many callings and workplaces, and one of my pastoral colleagues looked at me one day and said, "I'm not sure I can do this anymore." Soon he resigned and left the pastorate. So in addition to the high stress of so many of our workplaces, we live in a cultural context increasingly where social and economic macro pressures are fueling burnout on us. And we sense, many of us, the unsettling and disorienting ways of what the writer of Psalm chapter 11 declared, "When the foundations are destroyed or eroded, what will the righteous do?" The worldview, ethical, and civilization foundations we have stood upon seem to be crumbling around us. An organization called Renovare convened, imagine this, 35 leaders from many sectors of society, including the arts, media, technology, politics, mental health, higher education, nonprofits, and yes, the clergy. And out of that gathering, 4 macro themes emerged around the unique times we live and work in. Let me share them with you. First, we are in a time of deep global political and economic instability that manifests itself in all of us, with greater fear, uncertainty, greater isolation, and loneliness. Second, polarization and breakdown are increasing across our nations, our cultures, and institutions. Third, and perhaps most disheartening to me, is so many people say they don't know who they are. They don't know what is true anymore, and they don't have a sense of where they belong. That's heartbreaking to me. Fourth, there is a loss of confidence. Isn't this true in many leaders because of abuses of a power and tragic character flaws? In addition to this, Christian faith, what we cherish, can be marginalized. It can even be opposed in some cases. The increased overload in many workplaces, along with this global economy, the broader cultural pressures, the bombardment of information, and the dizzying amount of technological and cultural changes are all contributing to a kind of desperate depletion, emotional, spiritual, relational, and physical. And you know, when I look into people's eyes, I often see a Monday work soldier limping from battle, their wounds wrapped from the shrapnel of workplace exhaustion, relational conflict, and yes, often cultures that are demotivating and some even toxic. So many feel depleted. So many are running on empty today. And as I look into their eyes, I see souls suffocating in the blackout of burnout. So what about you? Are you heading there? Are you heading toward burnout, or how do you know? Are there early warning signs showing up? You may be having trouble sleeping or feeling increased fatigue when you get up in the morning, or other physical symptoms like headaches or GI discomforts or increased irritability or greater anxiety or often a brain fog that makes it hard to concentrate and make decisions. And yes, creativity and problem solving are increasingly difficult in your work. I like to think of three diagnostic lights on your personal well-being dashboard. This has been helpful for me. There's a green light that says things are good. Suggests a healthy rhythm of good energy in your work and rest. Next, there's a yellow light, which is beginning to tell you things are not as good as they should be. Something's cooking. So we may need to slow down and reflect on what's going on. Maybe a mid-course correction is there. Next, there's a red light, which absolutely says stop right now. Immediately stop. So what is your well-being dashboard saying? Is it green, yellow, or is it red? Are you on the path to burnout? Now, while the term burnout may not have a long history, throughout history, individuals have found themselves on this perilous posture of workplace exhaustion and depletion. Long ago, Old Testament records actually a burnout moment. His name, you probably know, was Elijah. His work calling was that of a prophet. A prophet served as spokespersons for God. Their vocational mission was to communicate divine words to God's people, and they often spoke very hard truth to very big power. So in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, we find Elijah's story. I encourage you to read it this week. Let me just touch on it a bit. Elijah expended this great physical, emotional, and spiritual energy in his work. He confronted the false gods of Baal, achieving an unforgettable and incredible milestone of victory. And not surprisingly, it is immediately following the mountaintop of his workplace success that an exhausted and spent Elijah goes into what has to be an emotional freefall. There is this powerful and ruthless queen, Jezebel, who sends a message to Elijah. Basically, you're a dead man walking. Now, I don't know how you'd respond to that. That would freak me out. So here is how the writer of 1 Kings describes that incredible moment. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow, I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Now, with the contract out on his head, Elijah freaks out in fear, and he quickly gets out of town. I don't blame him. And like a fugitive with Jezebel's thugs on his tail, Elijah literally runs for his life far away to a barren wilderness. He's running on empty. He's frozen in fear. He's physically, emotionally, spiritually, and completely relationally depleted. You might say, Elijah hits rock bottom. And in that deep bottom, he cries out to God. And the biblical writer helps us enter into his burnout moment. Here's what he says. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came down and sat under a broom tree. I don't know what a broom tree is. But he asked that he might die, saying, it's not enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Now, when you step back, this is a man of God, a prophet of God. Pretty shocking, isn't it, that that's where he is. Yet following this massive expenditure of spiritual, emotional, and physical energy, a very human Elijah is all out of gas. He's been working his heart out in his heart-demanding work. He has nothing left to give. In this black hole of burnout, you will notice Elijah's perception of reality about himself, his God, and the world around him is badly blurred and distorted. Yet that's exactly the danger of burnout. That's what burnout does to you. It distorts reality about God, about ourselves and others, and our work. Not only does this level of exhaustion and depletion numb Elijah's courage, it absolutely evaporates his hope and prompts even suicidal ideation. In this dark black hole of burnout, Elijah is not only exhausted, but I want you to notice he feels desperately alone. Life-giving relationships are nowhere to be found in the story. And at that point, death seems the best way out of his misery, aloneness, exhaustion, and hopelessness. And let's face it, That's a hard place to be. But that is what the black hole of burnout does to you and me. But the good news of the rest of Elijah's story is that in both supernatural, I'm so grateful for this, and natural ways, Elijah bounces back to a renewed physical, spiritual, emotional energy, and a hopeful resiliency. He can now see a hopeful future for his life and his work. But what Elijah needed was bodily replenishment through some badly needed sleep and nourishing food. In fact, an angelic messenger repeats a refrain in 1 Kings chapter 9, and it basically goes like this. Hey, Elijah, Elijah, eat and sleep, would you? God knew what a burnt-out prophet needed most to get back on his feet again. God sees to it that Elijah gets what we would call a nap in a sack, a nap in a sack. In addition, God lets Elijah know he is never alone, and God gives Elijah a 40-day break from his work for rest, restoration, and replenishment. I think Elijah's burnout story is both sobering as well as hopeful for you. Workplace burnout does not have to stop you dead in your tracks. It doesn't have to define you or prevent a good future for you. Few of us are called to be a prophet, speaking truth to power, but your work, like Spencer in healthcare or business or education or media or whatever it might be, can be and often is deeply exhausting and depleting. It can wreak havoc on your health, the relationships closest to you, and yes, the quality of your work itself. So how can you avoid the black hole of workplace burnout? Most importantly, you will need to prioritize your personal self-care. And if possible, nurture workplace cultures. If possible, if you can do that, they're more highly attentive and value self-care of the worker. Throughout my life, there have been a handful of times, transparently, I found myself so near the black hole of burnout. And you know what? Most of my burnout, personally, is not because I've had a bad job fit, or I hate my job, or I have really difficult work colleagues. Most of my burnout has been the result of a too heavy workload, an overcommitted, overscheduled, hurried life. Perhaps that is how you see your life. And what I needed to learn was more self-care and not to see it as selfishness. We must not miss the goodness and importance of loving others appropriately, clearly. But self-care is really one of the most important stewardships of loving ourselves properly, before God, loving our family and close friends, and caring for our workplace colleagues, for they need us to bring our best self, not our burned-out self, to work. Now, there are many contributing factors to burnout, like job fit and workplace culture, and many of these factors are beyond your control. I get that. However, most prominent in burnout is an unsustainable workplace. And I know with the high cost of living, you may be doing two or three jobs to make ends meet. You know you are running too hard, but maybe you feel trapped and don't have a choice. Or you may, for some internal reason within you, day after day, week after week, try to unwisely cram way too much in your schedule. Or you may have a hard time saying no to something when you need to. Now, I don't know exactly what may be putting you on the path to burnout, but I know it's common. And I know God gave you finite limits, and these limits are gifts for you, not obstacles for your flourishing. God is delighted to have you serve him within your finite and human limits. He created you that way. So is your work pace sustainable? When asked by a pastor what he needed to do to live a more whole and flourishing life, again, the insightful Christian philosopher Dallas Willard responded, ruthlessly eliminate hurry in your life. And one of the most effective ways to avoid black hole burnout is to heed that exhortation, eliminate hurry in your life. So will you pause today, this week, and take a close and honest look at the pace you are keeping? What are the number of hours you are working each week? Are there adjustments you can make, even small ones, that will make your workload more sustainable? A friend of mine who has an intensive people job reminds me, often it's not just the number of hours that contribute to burnout in our lives, it is the emotional weightiness of those hours. As stewards, we not only manage our time, most importantly, we manage our energy. How are you managing your energy? And this requires you to know yourself, to live more healthy patterns as to what gives you energy, what replenishes energy, and what depletes your energy. So here's the main thing I want you to take away today. Starting this week, keep track of the number of hours you are working and the hours you are sleeping. Do this for a month, evaluating what the numbers are telling you about your work. Are you living a sustainable pace? Are you carving out time for a weekly day of Sabbath rest? Few disciplines bring greater flourishing to your life than a regular Sabbath day. You may be thinking a weekly Sabbath day is a high hill for you to climb, but can you move a bit closer to that rhythm? And I will be exploring more in greater detail this Sabbath principle on a future podcast. But keep track also of the hours you are working. Most of us on average need 7 or 8 hours a day to sleep. Fascinating. In Psalm 4, verse 8, we read King David's work. He's a guy, right? His words are powerful. His work demands must have been great as king and a heavy workload. And he says this, "I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone make me dwell in safety." So what light is flashing on your well-being dashboard? Is it green, yellow, red? Are you heading down the path to burnout? I'd like to close this time with you in prayer. And as I conclude, I'd like to invite you to pray right where you are, to pray the Lord's Prayer. Remember, the Lord's Prayer is not given only to pray on Sunday. It's a centering prayer for you in your workplace on Monday. So Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us with finite human limits. Thank you for your creation design that we have been made to work, as well as rest in a sustainable pace of life and not burn out. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to give us the courage and discipline to wisely navigate our work's demands and live a more unhurried life. Like the prophet Elijah, help us to embrace wise self-care, a sensitivity to our work hours, our sleep hours, as we nurture our relational and physical well-being in a sustainable pace of walking close to you. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who died to make us new, you are our master mentor. You modeled a sustainable, unhurried pace, and you taught us how to live a flourishing life and to pray. And we now pray with faith and expectancy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but do deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today. May you sense in unmistakable ways the Lord's favor and presence as you partner with him in the high calling of your workplace.